So, as I said, I'm going along with my little, not so much a series, but just different sermons over Christmas to try to look at things about Jesus and when he came and why he came and what, you know, is special about it. This is a little bit long. Your little bulletins have the part that is essential to what I want to look at tonight. But I want to read the whole thing because it makes it all in context. John 19 to 51. That's the end of the first chapter of John. This is John's testimony. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" he did not refuse to answer. But he declared, "I'm not the Messiah." This is John the Baptist, not John, the guy who's writing the book here. "Who then," they ask, "are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet?" "No," he answered. "Who are you then?" they asked. "We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Just as Isaiah the prophet said. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. So they asked him, "Why do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John answered them. "Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie." All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who has surpassed me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I've seen and testified that he is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John was standing with two disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 10 in the morning. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We found the Messiah," which means the Anointed One. And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means a rock. The next day, he decided to leave for Galilee. Jesus found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked him. "Come and see," Philip answered. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said about him, "Here is a true Israelite. No deceit is in him." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied to him, "Do you believe only because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I assure you,
you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have your word to read and that we can learn about you. Help us to serve you well. Help us to serve the people around us. And just guide us in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the background of this is simple. And we actually kind of started with it. The people come from Jerusalem. They're worried about John because Jesus hadn't started ministering yet. So they haven't, you know, they're going to get even more upset at Jesus. But right now, their target is John. So they say, "Who are you?" Now, the three things that they asked him about was, "Are you Elijah?" Because Elijah didn't die. He got picked up by chariots of fire and whisked away to God. There was one other guy who did that. That was named Enoch. Who they said he was walking with God, and he just wasn't there anymore. It's like he walked right off. And I keep saying, "Lord, that sounds way cool. Okay, now I'm real old. Why don't we just do that?" But he won't do it. So at any rate, then they said, the prophet. Now, Moses, as he was talking to them in Deuteronomy, talked about the fact that there will be a prophet like me who comes. And he'll tell you all the things you need to know, and he will be the one who will lead you into knowing God. And so they were looking for the prophet. Now, some of them thought that that's who Messiah was the prophet. But, so then, John refers to Isaiah, which is the part about, I'm someone crying in the wilderness. Got somebody else coming?
She's looking. She's unlocking the door, so I take it she.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's okay.
So he refers to Isaiah. He says, "I'm one crying in the wilderness," which is with his quote from Isaiah when he said that. And it says, "Make straight the way of the Lord." That's he's preparing the way for the Messiah when he gets there. And then he says, "I baptize with water, he'll baptize with the Holy Spirit." He makes a big differentiation between the two of them and the way they baptize. So then at one point he points to Jesus and he says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth." Now, that very statement basically put a tremendous burden on Jesus, because who takes away sin? And we see this in a lot of encounter that Jesus had. Who can take away sin but God? And so, they're saying, you know, if this is the guy who takes away the sins of the world, that's he must be God. Because only God can take away sins. And he tells his disciples, follow him. Now, most people who were building a movement do not point to somebody else and say, go follow him. But John was not so much trying to build a movement as he was trying to get people ready to hear the truth of God. Once again, I often refer to this movie, Oh God, with George Burns. And in the movie, people were very upset at George Burns saying he's God. People aren't going to buy into that very much. So, John was getting them ready to hear it. They weren't ready to hear it just yet. So then, the first disciples come to know Jesus. Andrew and somebody else with him, they were, just says that there was two of them that were watching, and he followed him. And when he turned back and said, "Why are you following me?" essentially, they said, "Where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and see." And so they did. And they spent the day with him. And undoubtedly, they spent the day with him listening and hearing things that they'd never heard before. Stuff that changed their understandings of the scriptures that they knew very well. All Jews, even fishermen or whoever, all Jews knew the scriptures. Dead cold, because that was, to them, the scriptures were the Torah, the first five books, and possibly some of the historical books and the prophets. But the scriptures that they're talking about, they knew that what the Talmud said about him and the Torah said about him. So they're following him, they're learning about him, and they ask, where is he staying? They want to come back, and he says, come and see. So then Andrew goes out and tells his brother Peter. Peter doesn't think this is a very good idea, but Andrew says, come and see. And so he comes, and as I said before, he begins to listen to Jesus, and his first reaction is, go away from me because I'm a sinful man. Because, you know, they felt that they couldn't be in the presence of holiness. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming, was to say, you have been in the presence of major holiness, and you didn't catch fire, and you weren't just blown apart, and it's okay. God wants to know you. And he wants to tell you he loves you. And he wants to tell you how to be reconciled to him. Well, once Peter got that, you couldn't stop him. So, he renames Peter. Now, they say Cephas. And Cephas means a little rock. And it means a rock. This becomes important later on when they get into the thing in Greek where they talk about Petra and Petras. Petras is a rock. Petra is the element rock. You know, a mountain is rock. A little stone you pick up to throw at somebody is a rock. Petras. So, but he renames Peter a rock. And they go out and they find Philip and tells him to follow. So he follows. And then Philip goes and finds Nathanael and tells him about Jesus. Now, Philip is one of these guys. We'll find Thomas later on has very similar things where it's like, I want to be convinced about this. I'm not just going to buy into this because somebody said it. And so Jesus convinces him and says, come and see. See what will happen. You'll see new things that you've not seen before. He tells him there's nothing false in him. And Philip says, how would you know that? Or Nathanael says, how would you know that? And he tells him that I have foreknowledge. I saw you under a fig tree sitting there talking to
Philip,
talking to Philip, and now Nathanael believes. Jesus says this is just the beginning. There's way more than this. So what does this mean to us? Well, one, I can point you to Jesus. I can't have you give your life to him. I can tell you about him, but you have to give your life to him yourself. You have to find out about him and be convinced about him yourself. So the major thing that we're saying is, this is what Jesus has done for me. Now come and see what he'll do for you. You need to point others at Jesus the same way as people pointed you to Jesus. Tell them, come and see. Give him a try. See what happens. If your life is just going to blazes, Jesus can turn it around. Yep. And so many times we think, no, this is too bad. No, we have a friend who thinks he is too bad. We have a parable for that. When Jesus was at this guy's house, and this lady who was well known for being a lady of the evening came, and the guys were saying, he should know what this woman is like. And so he says, who would love you more? If you gave one guy $50 and another guy $500, and neither one of them could pay you, and so you forgive them both, who will love you the most? Well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most. He says, yeah, that's it. So don't tell me that Jesus can't forgive people. He's looking for people who think they can't be forgiven so that they will be really loving. I've known people when I was in the service who gave their life to Christ, and you could not break them loose from Him to save your soul now because they were bad guys. They got their stuff together. Not that I'm not a bad guy, too. I mean, I was kind of a rounder in the service. But the whole thing is, you want to find people who think they can never be forgiven by God and tell them they can be. Tell them what He did for you. And then say, He'll do the same for you and more. He doesn't care what you think. He cares about who you believe in. That's the whole thing. You're not looking, come and see. See what? Not see what. See who. Get near Jesus and find out. Jesus is who they need. And we need to keep telling them that. And we have told people here. And we've had people that have come and stayed for a little while and maybe gone off. I hope they're doing better somewhere else now that they've got their life together. But if I can point somebody at Jesus and they begin to follow Him, that's what God called me to do. Let them come and see. If somebody tries Jesus, just gives Him a shot, and they see what He does for them when they truly begin to rely on Him, once again, you'll never pry them loose because they get so close and their life is changed so much. Now, sometimes it takes a while. Vicky would get mad at God, but she loved Him, and so she'd always come back. That's the thing, It's a process. And that's the thing that draws us closer and closer to Him, is every time we screw up and think, that's it, I'm going off in another direction. And when we come back, He goes, oh, hi, I love you, glad you're back. Mm-hmm. And we go, what is up with this? I thought I'd be in the deep darks for sure. But Jesus doesn't work that way. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness, and you get it automatically. If you mean it, if you believe in Him, if you believe that your forgiveness comes from Him, you get it. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we've been here tonight. We wish more of these guys could have stayed, but we know why they didn't. And so we pray for them, Lord, that they would be blessed and guided, and You would go with them and take good care of them and bring them back to us once they begin to find and get things straight. Help us to help them, to give them what we have to give that might make their lives better. Just go with us. Help us to be Your people. Help this to be Your church and people to see that and want to come here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, guys. Now-